Hello, Grinders, and welcome to the Weekend Grind. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here back with Bobby Fye. Bobby, it's been sounds like it's been a pretty good MLB season for you. Sounds like you're pretty close to hitting something. How's it going over there for you, buddy?
It's been good, man. I feel like every day I've had some pretty good sweats, and I'm just not quite hitting the big one, but I'm coming close and off to a great start tonight in a couple lineups. So it just started, but ready for tomorrow, ready to get into the show. Really loving this time of year. Just sorry my Thunder are out. That's about it.
Yeah, I was on the opposite side, Bobby. I wanted your fraud Thunder out of there. So, but it was a lot of fun. It's been some fun on Twitter and whatnot. But the playoffs are here, man. I'm excited to watch the Celtics tonight and kind of watch that game. Should be a fun one to watch. And, hey, we got the Pelicans-Warriors series, which I think will be a really good one too. So it's a great time of year just with all the sports going on. And I don't know, did you watch much of the draft, Bobby?
I actually didn't watch any of the draft. I just kept track of it. I think Lamar Jackson is the best player in the draft, and I think that's going to be the steal. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I actually thought it was a good landing spot for him, surprisingly. Not the biggest fan of him, but I thought the landing spot was good. But no one's here for that football talk. That's later on. That's later on in the year. Let's talk about some baseball, right? People are here to win the baseball money, and we're here for talking about Sunday slate. It's a nice main slate of 12 games about, so should be good to dive into. We're going to go game by game a little easier, I think, that way. So we'll do that today for game by game. So we're going to start it off with a game that I targeted a ton today. I really like both sides of the ball, even though there was an ace on it. And I think it's kind of similar here. There's a pretty good pitcher on the Red Sox side and then a really bad pitcher on the Rays side. You got Ryan Yarbrough, I don't know how to say his name, versus Rick Porcello. And, you know, that Rays offense, they're swinging a ton of hot bats. And that Boston offense, they're, you know, as good as always, right? Not striking out and just hitting the ball pretty well. I know it's probably going to be watered down because Mookie Betts had an injury today. Don't know exactly what it was, but it didn't sound good. I saw, you know, you do like the Twitter searches, Bobby, and you see like someone said torn UCL. I don't know if that's true, but
oh my god,
yeah, I don't know if it's that bad, but someone said that he left the game, so it didn't sound like it was really great for him. Again, it could be wrong, but it was like some random person on Twitter said that, and I haven't seen the injury, but I'm not expecting him in the lineup, so lineup could be a little bit watered down. Bobby, what's your take on this game between these two pitchers? Do you have any interest in them first?
I think if Porcello was a little cheaper, I could maybe make an argument. I like Faria, like, in certain spots, but I just would never take a pitcher against Boston even without Mookie, unless it's a really special pitcher, so probably not.
Oh, wait, it's Faria on the mound? See, we're seeing the RotoGrinders lineup page has the Yarbrough guy, but DraftKings has Faria. You're correct. It's like it's conflicting. So, I'll try and look it up real quick and see who's starting, but if Faria is there, I think it's more intriguing than the other guy. I think I'd agree with that.
Yeah, for sure. But I just don't think you can play either of them. It just makes the Red Sox stack less interesting.
Yeah, well, the problem is that the Red Sox are just – they don't strike out a ton, right? That's kind of the problem. So, I don't know. I don't think I even care who's on the mound at that point. Again, I'm getting conflicting things here, and I can't figure it out right now. But I just think either way I'm staying away. There's an argument for K upside for a guy like Faria, young, talented pitcher. But the problem is the Red Sox are, you know, if you could list, like, you know, the top three teams that are just like you'd stay away from the entire year of attacking offenses, the Red Sox would be one of them, correct? Because there's just not a lot of K upside.
There really isn't. I just don't. There's like three or four teams I don't take pitchers against, maybe five even actually, but – and the Red Sox are right near the top of the list. Like, it would take us – I would play a guy like Ohtani or something, even though he got shelled last time. But, you'd need to be, like, a really high K upside pitcher, and one of Betts or Nunez would have to be out of the lineup probably because they just don't never strike out.
Yeah, I think I'm staying away of Faria. Again, I like the talent, but not the matchup. I'll stay away. Porcello's just a guy I never really roster. And hey, the Rays are swinging hot bats, Bobby. I'm one of those guys when I do know that a team is swinging a pretty hot stick, I kind of just tend to stay away. And I know normally a Rays are a team that we could obviously target, but I think it's fine just to stay away. And Porcello's not a guy that, you know, you're worried about ever breaking the slate or anything like that. And at that price, I think it's just fine, right? I don't need to be paying 10-3 for Rick Porcello. So I'm going to stay away from these pitchers. How about you?
Yeah, I'm just not going to play either of them for sure.
Okay, what about the hitters, right? That's the other thing. Like, I think the Red Sox are intriguing guys you can obviously target. You know, say that Yarbrough guy, the lefty, is in there. Of course, he's interesting. Even like against a guy like JD Martinez, I would love to get JD Martinez in that spot. Even against Faria, I think JD's interesting. So that's a guy that kind of sticks out to me. I know he's been struggling a little bit, but I like him a little, Hanley. So I don't mind maybe a mini stack of this, but this is not a game that I'm completely in love with. And I think it's one I could easily just skip over.
Yeah, I think that I just don't want any. I really don't think I'm going to take any pieces of this game hardly tomorrow, unless, like, I don't know. As of right now, I just can't find a spot that I really would target here.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. It just, the only thing I'd probably do is maybe a JD Martinez as a one-off, and then I'll just move on. So let's go to the next game, though. This is a game that's been fun to target in DFS the past couple days. People have been all over it. Detroit Tigers and the Baltimore Orioles. We got Daniel Norris against Kevin Gausman. You know, 9-run total. We got the Orioles with almost a 5 total right now. What's your take on this game? I'm sure you're not on the pitchers, but what's your take on Gausman, I guess, first? Because I know you're not playing Daniel Norris.
I'll definitely play Gausman. I'm all over this play. Like, this is going to be one of my cheap pitchers of the day. I just think that there's, like, he's much better than people give him credit for. He's, you know, in his last time out against Cleveland, I played him a lot because he was 5,800, and I think he was like 3% owned, and he put up 25 fantasy points, like, against Cleveland. He had 7 Ks in 8 innings. They really let him go. He threw 107 pitches. Started the 8th inning with 98 pitches, I believe. Came back out on the mound. So I really think that Detroit is they're going to prove to be more of a boom bust offense. They don't strike out as much as you'd like, but Gausman has good enough stuff where I think he definitely has upside. I'm going to play a lot of Gausman, but I also don't mind if you're not playing him, maybe a little mini stack of Detroit as well as Baltimore, of course.
Yeah, I kind of like Gausman. Like, I didn't realize he was 6,800. That price tag is insane. And, I mean, he kind of maybe gets lost in the shuffle because there's just a lot of pitchers tomorrow, and you kind of scroll through, and he's just like, it's surprising to see him down there at the $6,800 price tag. So I like Gausman here. I think he's someone that I'm going to have some interest in. You know, some of the guys that you are scared of, right, are the righties in this lineup. So Gausman obviously has an advantage there. I think Gausman's interesting, someone that I think is a good tournament target. And I think you're onto something there, Bobby. A pretty good play to obviously have some interest in. On the Orioles side of the ball, I'm definitely interested in some of these bats. Give me some Trey Mancini, some Machado, Adam Jones, Valencia. Against this lefty, I think those guys are interesting options. And even whoever gets that two-hole spot. I don't know who it is every day. I think it's Jace Peterson right now because he's having swinging the hot stick. But I think these Orioles are a really interesting stack tomorrow. What do you think about that?
Yeah, they're going to be, like, chalkier than they probably should be. They still don't have a lot of guys with great track records against lefties, and the ones they do are guys like Valencia, who I think you can play, like, at, you know, low ownership, who's cheap, but he, you know, unfortunately takes up a third base spot on DK. But I like him against lefties. I like Machado a ton, but he's going to be mega chalk. So I don't know if I'm definitely going to have pieces of it. I just don't know if I'm going to fully stack it. Like, Jones is still better against righties. Mancini's much better against righties. You know, then you've got the lefties who are better against righties, obviously, in Davis and Alvarez if they were to play. Like, I just feel like I'd probably just Davis, I guess. But I don't know. I feel like it's going to be a little more popular than I want to go for, even though I'm definitely going to have pieces of it.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely trending upward in the ownership department and definitely hitting better bats. So, but it's a 12-game slate, Bobby. I don't know. When they hit 12-game slates, I kind of start throwing ownership out the window. So, I don't know. I think I'm fine with it. I'm down to roster these guys. I think they're going to be part of my, stacks to consider list, I would say. Is that about it for this game, though, Bobby? I know you're a big Mancini fan. Is this the spot for him? You're always pretty good at whispering him. Do you like him in this spot?
I like him if he gets to the bullpen. I mean, his numbers are staggering against righties and not so much against lefties overall for his career. So that's where I'm at with I'm not going to play him a ton tomorrow, but I'll probably have a few shares because he's cheap. And if they do get into the bullpen, that's what makes this game appealing. Both these bullpens are terrible. That as a game stack, I sort of like that aspect. Maybe I'll do that in some tournaments, even though I don't think I'm going to just stack one side, though. I'm probably just going to take pieces and then maybe have one game stack.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fine. Let's go to the next game, Bob. We got the Texas Rangers, Toronto Blue Jays. This is a 9 total, and, we see the Blue Jays with a 5.4 run total, and they had Bartolo Colon. They were supposed to blow up yesterday, and they didn't really blow up. Now you got Martin Perez today. Bobby, what are you doing with the Blue Jays today against Martin Perez?
I think that you should be playing them. I know it's not like – I don't think I'm going to go like full stack. I think Teoscar Hernandez is legit, and I want to play him no matter what. Assuming Gurriel's in the lineup again tomorrow, I'm definitely going to play him because no one will play him, and I actually believe in this kid too. So they're cheap enough where actually the stack is so tempting, and they'll be pretty – I mean, I think they'll be popular again even though they didn't hit Cologne today. I just – maybe not on this 12-game slate. they're just too cheap, man.
They are too cheap. I'll say this, Bobby. I was making a team yesterday, like my first look team, right? And I jammed in pretty high tier pitchers, and I easily got them in there. So they seem like the cheap stack that people will gravitate to, especially maybe even they work for like a double payoff option, right? Like you could probably make a Gerrit Cole and a Robbie Ray work, or a Gerrit Cole and a Gio Gonzalez work. I'm not saying I want to play those guys, but I'm just saying I think if you want a double payoff at pitcher on a site like DraftKings, I think you can make it work. So I think you're right about that. Like, I love Justin Smoke. I think you brought up a great point about Hernandez. You get Steve Pierce at the top of the lefty. It's just like all these guys in this lineup, they're going to be really righty heavy. I think it's a really great play.
Yeah. I think that it's really – they're just – Yeah, I'm totally agree with you. I don't know what else to say. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I can just say the 1-9 I like a ton. Like, I think Diaz, if he's in there, a nice wraparound stack, he's been showing a lot of pop. One thing I like about a team like the Blue Jays whenever I roster them is when they have a guy like Russell Martin, and I hate rostering the catcher position, right? I can just throw him in my stack of my five guys I'm making, and it just helps fill out a position that I don't really like to play. So
Russell Martin has been staggeringly bad against lefties for like 2 years, though. That is a little bit concerning.
Has he? That's interesting. I didn't know that.
He was hitting like one – I think in the last 2 years, like coming into this year, he was hitting like 160 with one home run in the last 2 years or something crazy. But he did hit a couple this year, or one or two off of lefties this year.
Yeah, that's interesting to know. I know this lineup is deep enough where I don't think – we definitely don't have to do it, but like you said, it's like one of those things that I'm like – not. It sounds lazy to say. I always say this, but I'm just like, I hate the catcher position, Bobby. Like, I just want to throw in whoever fits my stack and kind of move on if I can. And, you know, I normally do that, and I didn't think and do it today. Instead, I was like, oh, Salvador Perez, way better runoff, a one-off play. And I should have played Mitch Garver instead of my twin stack, so – of course, because he's the guy homer, you know what I mean? But that's kind of how I like to play catcher normally. I try not to get cute and figure it out with the catcher position, because it's unless there's just like an absolute like perfect matchup spot that I'm in love with, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. I want to mention something about Mancini real quick, just because his power numbers are better against righties, not against lefties. His overall numbers are good against both. I just wanted to go backtrack to that because I didn't want to get caught up on getting the wrong numbers out there, but he is better power wise against righties and very good against both lefties and righties as just an all around hitter.
Yeah, that's good to know. And we're rostering for his power, right? I love rostering against righties too. Like the other day on Friday, I thought he was a really sharp play. I mean, a lot of people were on him, but I thought he was a fantastic play, obviously, against a bad righty. And you want him against those bad righties when you kind of know it's a lefty there in Liriano. But how long is Liriano going to be in there, right? That guy can get pretty wild. I mean, getting that bullpen. So, good call on that. What about the Rangers bats against J.A. Happ? I mean, J.A. Happ is a pretty decent pitcher. I'm not a guy that loved to target Happ too much. What's your take on J.A. Happ or the Texas bats?
I actually think you could play Happ.
Strikeout upside against the Rangers, right? They strike out a ton. Yeah. I know that they're really boom bust. I think it's not a bad route to go.
Look at the teams. I mean, Happ dominated Boston. He didn't pitch terribly on opening day against New York, even though he didn't pitch great. He did, he got a few key 5Ks still, but he's been, I mean, he really, those two teams stand out particularly, but like, he's been really good this year, and he's got 30 fantasy point upside. Like, he's a good play. Like, I think he's probably going to get completely lost in the shuffle. And I just feel like it's a fairly safe play with a lot of upside. I don't think there's a huge amount of risk in this Texas lineup.
Yeah, he feels like a nice, like, high floor, good floor, like, nice ceiling. Like, it's maybe not the best ceiling on the slate, but I think it's there, and I think there's a nice floor there. You feel like you're not going to be absolutely burned by him. So, obviously, it's baseball, and it can happen, but I feel like he's not that bad of a play. Price tag is up, though, right? 9,200. It feels expensive, but I think it's interesting, and something that I'm definitely going to consider on this slate. Anything else here? Like, I don't think I'm playing any Texas bats, correct? It just doesn't seem like the right slate for it.
No, I think it's just not the right, like, I can't find anything that I would like. If I ever attack Happ, it would be with like Chu or something, actually. Yeah. I would rather a lefty than a righty. So that's probably the only guy I'd consider.
12-game slate, better spots to go, right? We can't talk about everyone. So we got to cross some stuff off, and I like when we can do that. So we'll cross off the Rangers bats. Let's move on to the next game, though. We got an 8-run total here. Colorado Rockies at the Miami Marlins. We got Chad Bettis against Caleb Smith. A battle of not so many great pitchers here. Obviously, the pitcher's park, though. What are you kind of doing with this game? Because it seems like pitchers that we'd want to target, but seeing an 8-run total has me a little confused. You would think it'd be a little higher, but I don't know. I just don't think this is a game I have a lot of interest in, but I feel like I should because these pitchers aren't great.
Yeah, I'm Bettis has been better this year, but like, no way you can even think about him at this price anyway. Like, and I don't know. The Marlins have been a little bit, I just don't think you can play the either of these pitchers, and I don't think that I'm interested in either of the lineups. Wait, we have Straylian as the pitcher tomorrow on DraftKings?
Let me see. Sorry, as I said, we're doing a little earlier, so things are, yeah, I see Straley on DraftKings. We had this issue last night with Grant, too, and we didn't get the pitcher until, like, the day of. We had the issue with the White Sox, and we had it with Wei-Yin Chen. We didn't get it until the day, so.
I think you're right, though, because it says it's expected to make his debut on Monday against the Phillies.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I think it's Caleb Smith. The reason why is that Smith was supposed to pitch on Saturday, and then Wei-Yin Chen came back. So I think that bumped it, all around. So I think Smith should be, because it would make no sense to bump Straley up to Sunday and then bring Smith to Monday. So I believe Caleb Smith would be in there. So, obviously Arenado always against a lefty I think is interesting. But I don't know. Again, this feels like another game where I just kind of want to cross it off and move on. I think the only thing I'll do is maybe, because it's a lefty, Arenado.
Just cut out there for a second.
Oh, you there, Bobby? You hear me? Bobby, can you hear me? I think we lost Bobby for a second, but hopefully he can get back in here shortly. But kind of what I was saying with that was Arenado, he is definitely someone that we can look to obviously play here against the lefty, and Caleb Smith is someone that we have to like. Trevor Story, he's someone that I'm definitely going to have some interest in too. Trevor Story is a guy that against lefties, I always like the roster. But other than that, Justin Bour, he got scratched. I won't play him against Chad Bettis. I think that's something that's obviously going to be a little bit concerning. Don't know how he's actually feeling health-wise. So this is a game that I think I'm just going to cross off at this time. All right, I got Bobby back here. I kind of wrapped up the last game with the Miami and the Rockies game, Bobby. It just kind of basically said Arenado's story and then maybe Bour if he's in. But problem is, Bour got scratched today, so I'm a little worried about that. You want to just move on? I think, again, pretty big slate where I don't think we have to worry about this game too much. Agree?
Totally agree.
All right, on to the next one. We got the Seattle Mariners and the Cleveland Indians. And, man, did you see what they did today, Bobby? They hit Carlos Carrasco pretty hard. It was pretty crazy. It's so funny. I did a show with Josh Cole, and we were just like, I think he mentioned, and I hadn't heard anyone mention this in so long. He was like, man, Carrasco's been the safest guy like in the world, right? He hasn't been the blow-up pitcher he's been in so long. And then, of course, what did he do today? He blew up, right? But on this game, we got Marco Gonzalez and Josh Tomlin. This is a 9 total here in Cleveland. Do you have any interest in these guys? I think this is a decent spot to target some hitters.
Yeah, it's probably okay. I'm not like in love with it as much as I think other people are going to be. I definitely love the Cleveland side of it, but I'm not going to jump on Seattle quite as hard, I don't think. Like, Tomlin can get hit at times, but I mean, I guess their bullpen is getting worn out today and there's no Miller in the bullpen anymore. It's just not a team I love to target against exactly. I think I'm more interested in the Cleveland stack though overall.
Yeah, I think if you force me to pick, I like the Cleveland stack more. I mean, they've been swinging pretty good bats, and I kind of like their stack. They're expensive. People don't really want to pay up for them. And I like some of these guys here, right? The Jose Ramirez, Lindor, Edwin Carrasco, and even Michael Brantley. He still hits lefties pretty decently. So I kind of like the Cleveland side if you force me to pick one. I don't know if I like a lot of these guys in cash. It might just be a little overpriced for my liking, and they're tough to fit in. But I feel like they're a contrarian stack that you could pay up for. Again, they're not like they're one of those stacks that I feel like I put on my list to consider, but then they end up falling out, right? They end up on the outside looking in. That's what it sounds like maybe happens. So if someone likes Cleveland, I wouldn't want to talk them off it, but it's something I probably don't end up doing. What about you? Do you think they're a team that makes the core of your stacks?
Cleveland for sure. I'll be all over them tomorrow. They're always like a lower owned than they should be, partly because the prices are so high. I love this Cleveland. I'll take even Kipnis against the lefty. I don't even mind, even though he's been pretty terrible. I just like I like everybody in the lineup, but don't leave Jose Ramirez out of here. And Encarnacion, obviously. This team's just going to crush left-handed pitching for the most part. They'll have some down games too, where they can sometimes have some, Ks, but like, this is going to be a spot where I think they're just going to crush. And I don't believe in Seattle's bullpen either. So I'm going to load up a bunch of Cleveland. I think they're going to be one of my favorite stacks of the day.
Yeah, that sounds good. If you're getting that stamp of approval, maybe I need to get a little more on them here. What about Josh Tomlin? I know I don't think I'm playing the Mariners. I don't like playing the Mariners that much. They're fine, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem like the best spot for them against Josh Tomlin. Would you agree? Maybe just stay away from the Mariners and Josh Tomlin. I don't really want to pitch him either. Would you agree with just kind of staying away all around?
Yeah, I'll probably to take, like, I'll play a little bit. I'll play an Elson Cruz here and there. I'll play Cano here and there. But that's probably it. Maybe I'll play a lineup or two with Seager, but that's, I think it's okay to take a little piece here and there. I just don't think I'm going to be stacking them at all.
Yeah, that sounds fine to me. Let's go to the next team with the Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies. This is 8.5 total. And Brandon McCarthy versus Vincent Velasquez. And this is tough for me. Like, I love Vincent Velasquez. He's a pitcher that I love to target. But against the Braves, team that doesn't strike out a ton, I'll probably stay away. I like Vincent Velasquez in those spots against teams like the Rays, right, where there's much strikeout upside. Or a team like the Orioles. It just doesn't seem like there's enough K upside for me against the Braves. So I'll probably stay away from Velasquez. But on the opposite side, I'm not a big Brandon McCarthy fan. I think we could take advantage of him with a lot of these lefties here. So what's your take on going with some of these Phillies bats, and what's your take on the pitchers as well?
Philly is another stack that I like a lot. I'm not going to play those pitchers. I don't play righties against Atlanta for the most part, unless even if their name Scherzer actually. So pretty much I just don't play righties against Atlanta unless it's a really special occasion. But this is not a it's not a spot where I want any of the pitching, but I definitely like the Philly stack. This is just a team that has like a they're going to have like 20 run games. They just have a ton of pop in their lineup. And I like it 1 through 8. Like, I really do like everybody. Mostly, though, I don't think I'll play Hernandez. I think it'll be more, I'll play more Santana, Herrera, Hoskins, Alfaro even as a catcher. Like, if I'm going to be doing a stack. If Crawford was a little higher in the order, maybe even Altair. But like, I just really think that it's a good spot you can attack against McCarthy and this Braves team.
Oh, yeah. So I love this stack today. I mean, this is one I think I'm definitely going to get a lot of exposure to the Phillies. I mean, they're just in too good of a spot. Just things that jump out, right? Like Brandon McCarthy, he's a guy that stolen base-wise can struggle. If you just look, he pitched, I think, 200 innings in 2014, gave up 17 stolen bases. In 40 innings, he gave up 6. And then, like, in – what's this right here? 92.2, he gave up 10. And behind the plate, we got some really bad, catchers at holding runners on with the Braves. They're just really not good at it between Suzuki and Flowers. So I think this is a great stolen base upside spot for some of these guys. Like, if you look at a guy like Kingery, right, Cesar Hernandez, even Abdul Herrera, I think there's just a lot of upside for these guys for stolen bases. I love when I can get a matchup against a pitcher I don't like, and I also have stolen base upside because it feels like I just have a lot of outs, right? I have the home run outs. I have the stolen base outs, just ways to get points and generate, runs. So I really like this Philly stack. I agree with you, right? Like 1 through 8, I'm going to be all over it. I think it's going to be one of my favorite stacks of the day. I think Carlos Santana on DraftKings, right? 3,600. That's just insane for him, right? We get Kingery at 36, Franco at 3,400. I mean, Hoskins, of course, I'll pay up for him all the time at 4,900. Herrera's only 3,900. It just seems like really good prices. Nick Williams, if he's in the lineup at 3K, I like this Philly stack a ton. I'm all over them. So I'm in agreement with you there. Velasquez, right? It just feels like, I don't want to play Velasquez and I don't want to, target the Braves there. Like, maybe Freddie Freeman is a one-off because, hey, he's Freddie Freeman. He's really good. But that's kind of it for this game for me. Are you in agreement there?
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. I love hearing that you're all over these Phillies, because at the start of the year, there were two teams, Bobby, that I was like, I'm going to play a lot of to start out the year, and it was the Phillies and it was the Angels. So glad to hear that you're also all over.
That's exactly what I thought coming into this year, too, and I told everybody I could same thing. So I'm with you on that.
I stopped doing it recently just because I forgot to, but my thing I said was I'm going to play an Angel stack every single day for like the next 2 months of the season. And like even like wonky slates, like random 3-game slates, that like on a Sunday, the 4 o'clock slate, like if the Angels are on, I still just play it and play an Angel stack if I can. I forgot to a couple times this week, but luckily it didn't burn me, but I need to get back on that train. But let's go to the next game. Arizona Diamondbacks and Washington Nationals. This has two pretty talented lefties here. A guy like Joe Gonzalez, who last season was not the blow-up guy, was not really a guy that we worried about too much. It wasn't really a problem. I know most DFSers are like, oh, Gio Gonzalez, just very, very worried about rostering him. And he's been okay this year. Doesn't seem like he's absolutely burned you. And then we got Robbie Ray on the opposite side, who, he is lights out. He's one of those guys, when he's on, he is on. Gets a ton of K upside. But the problem is he gets hit really hard. And this Nationals team is a lineup that I get scared of at times. I'm not really scared of the current lineup the way it is. But what's your take on this game between Robbie Ray and Gio Gonzalez?
I think you play Goldschmidt. And you don't play the – I don't think I'm going to play – I think I'd play Robbie Ray just because of the upside. And this Washington lineup is not the same, even though they've had some decent days. Like, it's – definitely not the same without with all those guys out, without Rendon, without. So I think you can play Robbie Ray. I don't think you can play Gio. I definitely want to play Goldschmidt. I don't mind him as a one-off. I don't mind playing him and Pollock together. The guys are just, I say it all the time, they just absolutely crush left-handed pitching. Chris Owings, actually, you could play if you wanted to do a little mini stack. I don't know that I'd want to get into stacking against Gio on this slate, but I do like those guys' power upside versus lefties a lot. And even Nick Ahmed, like, maybe don't play them all together, but you could spread them out. I don't think that any of them are bad plays individually. I really actually like Goldschmidt and Pollock especially.
Yeah, and like this lineup is not the same, right? Of course, the top, right? Trey Turner, Zimmerman, Harper, Kendrick, obviously a little bit scary, but then the bottom, Taylor, Sierra, Sanchez, and Severino. If you look at the K percentages, Taylor, you know, him against lefties, 32.3%, Sierra, 35.3%, Sanchez, 13.6%, and then Severino, 33.3%. Obviously, the plate appearances are kind of low because these guys don't have a lot of data here. I know I tried to use the 2017 or 2018 seasons in the plate IQ, but obviously some to check out, and they're in the red. It's just this bottom of the order is really ugly, and it's something that we can target. I like Robbie Ray a lot in tournaments. I think he becomes sort of cash viable, but it is scary. It's definitely one of those things where you have to be willing in your cash games. You have to be one of those guys that's willing to kind of embrace more risk when you build it and really just are interested in targeting Ks. So I think Robbie Ray is a very interesting play on this slate, and love him in tournament format. I think there's a ton of upside. And his price, it is expensive, but you know, it's not the most expensive on the slate. 10-6 is still, I think, pretty fair. So I like Robbie Ray as well. I get the Goldschmidt thing. I don't know why he was out of the lineup. I think it was just a day off. So if he is in there, I think against a lefty, always have interest. And then, yeah, I guess if you force me, like, say you force me to pick a Nationals bat to like, I guess maybe like a Zimmerman or even like a Kendrick, if you think the position's rough. But I played Kendrick on like the 3-game slate against Corbin or whatever kind of slate it was against Corbin. I think it was a 4-game slate on FanDuel. But that was because the second base position was so bad. This is a day where I think the second base position isn't bad. So I don't think we need to mess around with that. Keep it simple with Robbie Ray and Goldschmidt. Move on to the next one.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I still want to just emphasize that Pollock is an excellent play, though.
Yeah, yeah, he was someone I was thinking of being all over today, and I didn't end up on him, but he was a very good play today for sure. Let's look at the next game, St. Louis Cardinals, Pittsburgh Pirates. This is a 8.5 total. We got Luke Weaver, who is a guy I typically like. He's been struggling a little bit this year, and then we got Nick Kingham. It looks like is on the mound. I don't know if you're seeing different, Bobby, but
no, that's what I've got here.
Yeah. What's your take on these pitchers here? Any interest in these guys?
No interest in the. I'm not going to play Weaver. Dude, I'm struggling with it. Let me just double check his prices here.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say this.
No, not at this price.
Yeah, he's too much. That's what I think. 8,300, and like I'm someone that I feel like I'm trying to like make Luke Weaver more a thing than it is. I loved him last year and he was pretty good, and he's been struggling recently. And I'm just gonna stay away and wait for him to maybe kind of work some things out. And the Pirates lineup is not a team that we typically like to target, right? I mean, I don't think they're that great of a lineup, but there's not a ton of K upside there. I know it's a good ballpark, but I think, again, this is a game that I might just stay away from. And it sounds like we don't like any offenses today from a lot we say, but they're coming. There's going to be some good spots coming up here that we like. But I don't like him a lot. But I do have interest on the opposite side. I kind of want to attack this Nick Kingham guy. I like this Cardinals offense. I know the ballpark's not great, but going guys like Matt Carpenter, Pham, Martinez, Ozuna, Fowler, I really think this Cardinals offense is in play here. What's your take on some of these Cardinals bats?
I'm passing. I'm not going to play like individually, I think they're all fine, but I'm just not going to – I'm crossing this one off. It's a bad pitcher's park. The Baltimore offense is weird. Like, it's better than it was. There's more pop in it, but I don't really want to stack them up on this slate as a team in Pittsburgh. Like, it's just not where I'm going to – where I'm going to play. I'm not going to play any hitters in this game for the most part. Maybe a few one-offs here and there if the pricing works out, but – I feel like everyone's fine. I'm just prioritizing this beneath my stacks that I like.
Yeah, I get it. I think they're interesting. And one of those, again, like might just fall out of the consideration, but I like Matt Carpenter specifically at 3,500 batting first. I think he's a really good cash game value play that I would have a lot of interest in. And like a Dexter Fowler too. I like him. He's always got a pretty nice price. So that's about it though. Let's move on to the next game. And this is a game that, there's going to be a pretty chalky offense. One that we're going to be getting a lot of exposure to, I think. We got Tyler Malle against Jose Berrios, and I think it's all Twins here, right? 9 total. Twins with a total at 5.19. Against the Reds, you have a 3.181, and it just seems like it's all Twins here, right? You want to load up on the pitcher and load up on the bats.
Yeah, why is the total so high for the Reds?
3.81,
3.3 or something, or 3.2. Like this, Berrios is good.
I know Reds are playing a little better. I think that's something you're going to see trend downward from 3.81, and it might end at 3.5. That's my guess. I think it'll end up trending downward. But yeah, it does seem like it opened a little higher, but maybe because just the way the series started out so hot, the Reds putting up 9 runs, maybe they worried a little bit about that. But yeah, I like Berrios. His price is, it's up there, right? It's a little expensive at 11.9, but this Reds offense is not a good offense. I guess let's just kind of talk about it now. Like at the top, Gerrit Cole, Jose Berrios. Who you got? Are you going Berrios over Cole?
Yes. I don't know. Like, I think I would go Berrios over Cole. I mean, this is a Cincinnati offense. They may have gone crazy the other day, but I had no problem rostering what's it called against them today. Like, I actually played in my 444 lineups. What's his name? The pitcher who started for Minnesota today, Odorizzi.
Oh, yeah. Odorizzi, yeah.
So I don't mind attacking Cincinnati. Like, I think that Berrios is expensive, but like he's actually flashed like major upside. Obviously Cole's got upside too, and he's been striking out more guys, but he's faced some soft lineups. Oakland can be a boom bust team. I think it's actually a scarier matchup than people might think. So I guess I prefer Berrios. I think Berrios is the guy who I would pay up for, just as I don't know that you need to pay up, but I do think that he's probably the one who I'm most interested in at the top.
Yeah, I kind of think like Cole ends up being the cash guy just because like you look at the game log and you're just like, how do I argue with what he's done? It's been incredible. In tournaments, though, I think Berrios is a nice pivot. If I could pay up for both, I'd try to, but I don't know if I'd be able to, honestly. It seems really tough to be able to make that work. But Berrios, I think he's a nice pivot off of Cole. I like the upside here. And one thing that should go noted about that Twins park is it's hard as a lefty to hit that out of the park. That left-handed side is the harder part, right? The right field is where you really kind of bang a lot of those home runs out and where the power is for those guys. So that'll obviously help a guy like Berrios when you got guys in there like Joey Votto, who's like the strongest bat that you worry about. So, and I think Berrios, that's the one thing with Votto now. Like he just doesn't have any protection and Berrios can find his way to pitch around and really just feast on some of these guys, towards the bottom of the lineup, Billy Hamilton, Barnhart, Chebler, all some of these guys, even Peraza, right? Righty. That's going to be a tough spot for like Peraza. But yeah, I think Berrios is an interesting turn option that has a ton of upside. We've seen him flash it. So I like him on the Twin side of the ball though, man, against Malay, this seems like a group of guys you definitely want to target. Miguel Sano wasn't in the lineup today, but I think he'll be in again. And I think going Dozier and Sano and then all these cheap lefties, even Joe Mauer, who's cheap. I know Ross is the first base spot, but I wouldn't hate that in a stack. Eddie Rosario, Logan Morrison, he's starting to actually hit the ball a little better. Max Kepler, Grossman for cheap. I just think all these Twins, like it's similar like the Blue Jays, right? 1 through 9, they seem all in play.
Yeah, I really, really agree that they're all in play other than Joe Mauer. I'm not going to use a first base slot on Joe Mauer.
I think it's the wrong slate for Joe Mauer. I think on like small slate I could get behind it.
Yeah, maybe like a 3 or 4 game slate. Like for me, I probably wouldn't still play him there.
Yeah, I don't mind him as much as you do. Right? He's definitely turned around a little bit this year, but I've gotten the good Joe Mauer this year, surprisingly. So I'm a little biased so far. Yeah, it's first. Loaded. Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, would you rather? Like, here's the fun one. I'm about to look up Joe Mauer's price. Would you rather play a 3,400 Joe Mauer or Carlos Santana for 3,600? Like, give me Carlos Santana every time. Yeah, like 100%. Like Carlos Santana. So I'll do that instead. Any other guys on the Twins you have interest in? Like, anyone stick out specifically that you really want to talk about?
I'll definitely stack the Twins a couple times, a number of ways. I think the Reds, or if you get to the early bullpen, is garbage. Then they got some better guys at the back part. But I would take I like the Dozier, Sano, Rosario, Escobar stack, actually, to not use in the outfield spot, or Kepler and Escobar. I like Escobar because I don't want to use that, that outfield spot if I can help it. And I don't mind treating shortstop, as a part of my stack. And Escobar's got upside for power and speed. So I actually really like that this Twins stack. The Twins have made me more money over the years than any team, and I always have like a soft spot for them. So my first really, really big win ever in DFS was from the Twins. So I'm always going to be looking at these guys, and I sort of like that stack again today.
Yeah, we all have those guys. Two of mine are yours, Monty Grandal and Justin Upton. So they're on like two of my biggest MLB wins, both on the same team, surprisingly. So yeah, we all have those guys that have a little soft spot for us. And the Twins have done me well too. I have no problem with them. I can't wait for August to come when Brian Dozier hits the ball like a million miles again, like he always does every August, it seems like. But like the Twins here, I think they're going to be an offense that I target in my cash games a ton, and is a tournament play that. I mean, I think they're going to get a little bit of ownership, but again, it's 12 games late. I'm going to throw ownership out the window and just not worry about it and find ways to make my team different. If I really worry, if I'm really worried about ownership, I can find ways to make it different and be okay with it. So I did it on this slate, right? I played Brian McCann at 3.6%. That right there made me different enough, and you can find ways to do it by stacking, and that's something I recommend doing because sometimes I think we talk ourselves out of plays that we don't want to. Anything else in this game, or do you want to go to the next one?
Let's move on.
All right, Oakland Athletics, Houston Astros, and we talked about Gerrit Cole a little, but we can talk about him again. He's going up against Trevor Cahill. I guess at the top, Gerrit Cole, I know you said you like Barrios a little more. I'm sure you like Cole too, though, but what's your take on Cole?
Yeah, I mean, Cole's got upside too, like, and he's obviously been consistent. I just feel like it's a lot to ask for, and I have a little bit of a preference towards Barrios. I actually like that matchup better. Their offense doesn't scare me as much as the A's does, even though the A's have a lot of potential K's in there. I also think that, I mean, Gerrit Cole, like in the tougher matchups, has been good, but hasn't been like phenomenal for, you know, for the price. I think that I'm going to probably pass mostly on Cole tomorrow, to be honest, or today, I should say, whenever you guys are listening. But I get it, like, and I think I understand it for cash. I just don't think I don't think I'm going to spend this price for him. Even Barrios, I'm starting to consider just because they're not like, I don't know. You just don't need to get them in. If you feel really good about your cheap stack and you want to play the Blue Jays or something, then fine. But if you really like a stack, I wouldn't sacrifice it to pay up these huge asking prices. You could even go down to Robbie Ray, who might outperform both these guys. Like, I don't know. And even Hap, like, could end up with more fantasy points than these guys. I just feel like there's a lot of places that are options you can pay down. I love paying down for Gausman. So I'm not prioritizing Cole as much as most people are going to.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm doing cash, I'm probably prioritizing Cole, but in tournaments, I get the idea of being off him. He's really expensive, and it seems like the bats are king just in tournaments in general. They're bats you rather get in bats than the pitching. And the one thing to mention with Oakland, before you like roster Cole, you have to always see what Oakland's lineup is. I always feel like whenever you're rostering a pitcher against them, you have to see what lineup they roll up, because they're very good at getting really lefty or righty heavy depending on the pitcher. They're very good at kind of messing that up. And, you know, getting a guy like Matt Joyce, Jed Lowrie, Matt Olson, those are three lefties that could definitely cause some problems. And on top of that, say they rolled a couple other lefties that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head. Say they put in five lefties there, that could obviously hurt the upside a little. So, and at that price, you obviously want all the upside. But again, guy I'm probably going to end up playing in my cash games. And in tournaments, I could see an argument to obviously go down because if you want to pay up for bats. Trevor Cahill, he's not good, Bobby. I think he's a guy that we can target here on this slate. Surprising to see the Astros. I thought that they'd be a little bit of a higher. I thought they'd be at five. Really? I thought they'd be at a 5-run total right now. They're only 4.85, which is kind of weird to see, right?
It's higher to me than I thought it was going to be, actually.
Really? So you thought it was going to be higher. So you like Trevor Cahill a little bit then?
No.
Not that you like him, but I think you're buying more him. I think you're buying him more on a long-term basis then. Is that what you're kind of saying?
I mean, I don't think that he's as bad as people think. Like, I mean, maybe I'm a little biased. I played him in his last two times and he was really good against the White Sox and really bad, or not really bad, really mediocre against Texas. But I don't think he's like terrible. Anyway, I still think you can always stack Houston. And if they're going to be lost in the shuffle, like I think that they might be a little bit on this big slate. It just depends on ownership a little bit. Like where do we feel Houston's ownership is going to be at? I don't think I'm going to worry about it too much, but I also don't know if I want to prioritize it. Like if they're in credit, we think everybody's going to be less than 10%. I would jump on board, but I don't think it's going to be the case. So it's okay. I just don't think that I'm probably going to be doing it tomorrow.
I like the Astros. I mean, they just seem like they're hitting pretty good bats right now. And I think I'm going to keep kind of riding it out until I get, you know, all those massive games coming. They're already up a good amount right now. So I can't complain about that. So already up 5-0, but, Astros are definitely going to be a team that I target in tournaments. Think I like them. You're against Cahill, but I get your arguments over there. Fade the Oakland Athletics. No need to play them against Gerrit Cole. That seems like a losing, you know, strategy long-term, correct?
Yes.
All right, let's go on to the next game. And we got the Chicago White Sox and the Kansas City Royals. And man, this seems like a game that we want to target. So we don't have a Vegas total out yet, but I'm assuming it's going to be high. It was a 10.5 today. Now we got Chris Volstead going up against Ian Kennedy. I believe that's correct. I know the White Sox have kind of been messing around with some things. Is that what you have on your end, Bobby?
Yeah, that's what I've got over here. And I'm just taking a look. Like, I think you can play Ian Kennedy and you can play the stack of the White Sox stack. Like,
yeah, I actually don't like, I actually kind of agree with you on that. I think you can get away with it because, again, righties against Chicago White Sox, that's always a thing. But man, those White Sox offense are swinging pretty good bats right now, and I think their upside is crazy.
Yeah, their upside is huge. The Royals bullpen is garbage. Both these teams are so easy to pick on because, like, their bullpens are terrible. Their starting pitching is always questionable. So it's like an easy game stack. You have a relief pitcher pitching for the White Sox. You have Kennedy for the, you know, you can stack up this full game. And I think that's a really what, you know, probably a lot of people are going to do again, like they're doing today. And I don't think it's a bad idea. It's just their bullpens are really, really bad. We don't have a total on this game yet, but I'm going to guess it's going to be really high. And I think this is a game stack. And also, I think you can take a shot on Kennedy. This White Sox offense is a boom-bust offense. So I'm going to take, like, if I want to get really creative and play Kennedy and Gausman together, like, it can, you'll just have such a different lineup than anyone will have. And, I mean, Kennedy put up 30 against Cleveland this year. Like, it's not like he doesn't have some upside. So let's, you know, the White Sox also can be horrible against anybody on a given day. So I think that they are, like, heating up. They are going to have some huge days, but they're going to have some 10K days. And I will take a shot on Ian Kennedy.
Yeah, I think you can do, like, the whole, like, get overweight on both sides and call it a day. And I think you can obviously pull that off. Just make sure you're obviously not putting them on the same team against each other. But I think you could pull that off and it would work. So don't hate that. So I have a problem with the Royals, Bobby. Like, I've been talking about this for a little while with people. I mentioned it to a couple people, but if I told you, for instance, the Royals scored 8 runs tomorrow, right? But the White Sox scored 5 runs. Wouldn't you want the White Sox 5 runs rather than the Royals 8 runs? Because the Royals runs are not created equal compared to the White Sox, right? Like, I just hate playing this team because they don't seem like they get the home run points that really win you tournaments. So even though a guy like Volstead seems like a great guy to target, I don't know. It's like maybe just take like a Moustakas as a one-off or a Perez or maybe a Duda as a value, but I just don't want to stack them up. What do you think about the Royals?
Yeah, I'm okay with stacking them up, actually. I don't agree here. I get it. Like, I get this. The ballpark is not ideal, too, and they're not as much pop as the Whites, but why not just stack the game? Like, if you stack this whole game, it makes perfect sense. Like, it's not, you know, where the production is mostly going to come from, Merrifield and Moustakas most of the time. I love the idea of playing both those guys. You can play Merrifield and Moncada in the same lineups if you do want to game stack this, because Merrifield's got outfield eligibility, And you can play, I mean, I love I think that the Moustakas, Merrifield, even Duda, if you're not using the White Sox on the other side and not playing Abreu, they're cheap and there's still upside. I'm just going to bet on the long term that they're going to be okay. Maybe I wouldn't play anybody else really other than those three, but I think Soler would be probably the other one I would consider. But you're right, they're not a great power hitting team, but this is a really good spot to attack, and they're going to have days where they hit. Like, I know they've let people down lately, but it's just, I don't know. I believe in Moustakas, I believe in Merrifield, and I believe in Duda as hitters overall. So I like those three, and I don't mind throwing Soler in as a stack. And I just really want to pick on the White Sox all year long, their starting pitching and their bullpen.
I get your points on this game. You'll sum me on the White Sox. Maybe it's just they've been good to me recently, but the Royals, I'm not getting behind yet, but we'll see. I just think maybe a couple guys one-offs here and there, like I said, I like a Moustakas and a Perez, but I get it. They're probably, we don't have the total yet, Bobby, but I'm guessing it's going to be high. I'm sure it's going to be. So let's go to the last game of the slate. We got the Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs. We got Zach Davies against Tyler Chatwood, and I don't have information on the wind yet. That's obviously something that's going to matter. We don't have a Vegas total. So I guess before we mention this game, Bobby, we can simply say, like, if the wind is blowing out, like, probably load up on this game for sure. And if the wind is blowing in, the pitchers become more intriguing. And that's something just to, like, kind of say before we start talking about the analysis. But what do you think of Chatwood and Davies here to start things off?
Yeah. Chatwood has been a little better than his numbers would indicate, I should say, like, this year. Like, he actually has been pretty good. I'm still probably not going to play either of these guys realistically. There's some K's in that Cubs lineup. I don't know. I'm not, I don't know how I feel yet about this. I guess this does depend a little bit on the weather. I don't feel like overwhelmingly interested in either side to be in the hitters or pitching.
Yeah, I really think the weather is going to matter like a ton here in this spot. I really do. It's something that's going to be pretty important to see. Just some BVP on this one, because I knew there was BVP here. You know, right? When you do baseball long enough, you know that there are certain ones that are there. Chris Bryant was one of them. 13 for 30 against Zach Davies. I mean, that's pretty extreme. It's interesting. Only two home runs, but still very extreme there. And I'm kind of hoping, like, I feel like this is a good slate, but I feel like I haven't found that offense that I'm like married to yet, but I really like, I'm hoping the wind's blown out in this game. Only problem is a lot of guys might be on it, but I feel like this Cubs offense could be interesting. I feel like we haven't had like the big Cubs like streak coming yet. And I don't know, I'm hoping the wind's blowing out here, so maybe I can get on them a little bit. Either way, I think Davies, he's not a guy that I'm a big fan of. And I like the Cubs offense a little bit. I think they're going to be an interesting tournament stack that you can do. But again, yeah, I need to see the weather on this game. It's going to be pretty important. I know it was blown in extreme today. And that was obviously great for Quintana, and he had a massive game because the Brewers obviously boom bust, and that could be great for Chatwood, right? Brewers, they have bats that they can either hit him out of the park or they can struggle a ton. So I think Chatwood could be more intriguing if the wind is blowing in. But if it's blowing out too, right, then on the opposite side, what about those Brewers home run bats? Because they can obviously swing the bat and hit it pretty far, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, but Chatwood isn't like terrible. Like, I think he's decent, so I'm not gonna like go crazy with the Brewers unless the wind is blowing out. Like, then if it's blowing crazy out, that's different. But I just wanted to mention, like, it's kind of interesting this game. I was thinking about Javier Baez is like a great player. Just play him every day. The guy's running like crazy this year. He's got power. Like, but second base has become the second best position.
Second is strong, man. Like, second it's has been loaded. Really strong this year. Like,
it's loaded.
Yeah, like, I mean, Altuve at the top. I mean, he's incredible. Moncada, he's been good. Baez, Dozier, Albies, who's like Jed Lowry, just doubles Lowry, as I like to call him. You got Robbie Cano. So, I mean, it's a pretty loaded position. Matt Carpenter, you can roster at second base for really cheap. So you're right. Second base is more loaded than you would think. Even Kipnis, right? He's at the bottom here at 3,100, which is weird to see for a guy like Kipnis. So, yeah, you're right about that. Second is pretty pretty loaded on this slate. But that about wraps it up, Bobby. Anything else on this game, or you want to go on to the stack of the day?
No, let's talk about stacks, I guess.
All right, so I'll start it off, Bobby, with my favorite stack of the day. And I think if I'm playing tournaments and only playing one team, I'm going to end up going with the Philly stack. I like how they're kind of off the board. They're not, that run total's not like over five, and everyone's like, oh man, I got to load up on them, like the Blue Jays and the Twins. I still think those are good stacks, right? Not hating on those stacks at all. They're guys that people be all over, but I think we both like this Phillies offense, and I like the upside here in this ballpark too. It's a bandbox. You can smack the ball out of it, and I think McCarthy could have some trouble. So I like this Philly stack. They're in my stack of the day. I'll load up on those lefties that are in there, like Santana, who's cheap, Herrera. Depending on what they put in Nick Williams, which I hope they finally do, get Cesar Hernandez in there because of the upside that he has with the running against him. And then never forget Rhys Hoskins, the GOAT, right? So I love the Philly stack today. What about you, Bobby?
Yeah, I like the Philly stack as well, but they're not my favorite. I think I would take the Twins and Indians as my – what I like about the Twins and Indians too is, depending on how you do it, there's a lot of different ways you could stack them, and you could stack them together. I mean, like, I think those two teams are both going to have big days, so I really like that's probably where I'll focus. And you mentioned with the White Sox with their power, the Indians are interesting because their guys all have the same kind of like crazy power, but they also hit a bunch of singles too. Like they've got just a massive, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland goes out and scores like 9 runs, and I don't think people are going to play them that much tomorrow.
Bobby, you're pretty sharp on what you've been doing so far to start out the year. You've been winning a bunch of money, so I might make just a Cleveland and Twin stack. And then the more I look at it and think about it, like I said, I don't know why Sano is out today, but if Sano's out again, like, it seems like I can skip Kipnis, who's been really bad, and throw in Dozier at second base. And then I can put in Lindor, who, again, the shortstops on the Twins, I think they're fine, but I'm not in love with. And then, like, I can get Jose Ramirez at third base. You can skip Joe Mauer, right, and Logan Morrison, who are paying, and put in Edwin. So I kind of like this idea with the Indians, Twins. I think I'm going to end up putting one in there and then seeing what pitchers I can pull off. So
Yan Gomes, by the way, could be the catcher on your stack there. Like, I like Yan Gomes versus lefties.
I think he hit one today too. So maybe nice. Heating up a little bit. But I guess when it gets a lefty, we might get like the cheap Brandon Guyer and the Rajay Davis tomorrow. So again, it's Sundays, right? Sundays are always interesting because you get like the random, really cheap guys. And I think that'll obviously make cash games interesting, maybe possibly being able to do the double pay up at pitcher in your cash games. So we'll have to see what the lineup shake up with, because again, Sundays, there's always a lot of value. It may not be out now, but it'll be there. So stay tuned for those lineups, guys. Any final thoughts on this slate, Bob, or you want to get on out of here?
No, I think that's pretty much it. Should be a fun slate, and good luck to everyone out there. I'm glad to be back on the show.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Thanks a lot. If you guys ever have any questions on Twitter or want to give us a follow on Twitter, follow me at Travis Mangone. It's TravisMangone. What about you, Bobby? It's just Bobby Fi, correct?
Yeah, Bobby. BobbyFi.
All right. Give us a follow there if you ever want to, chat with us. We're always there on the Twitter machine. So again, thanks a lot for joining me and Bobby Fi. We will be back next weekend talking some more MLDFS. Enjoy the NBA playoffs. Enjoy the MLB season. And we are out of here.